You're listening to Talk of the Rock with your host, Kayla Darroche, and we will be talking about Crabfest today because we have a very full weekend coming up for us during Memorial Day weekend. But first, it is also Safe Boating Week. So we have someone calling in from Juneau who is the expert on this. And we're going to introduce Mike Fokertz. Mike, can you hear us?
Yes, I hear you fine.
All right. Why don't you give a little background about yourself, since people may not be familiar with what you do in Juneau?
I am a boating safety specialist for the U.S. Coast Guard. There's one in each of the 9 Coast Guard districts. We primarily focus on recreational boating safety. We kind of dropped the word recreational in Alaska because we're so serious about our boating, we don't really see it as recreational, if that makes sense.
Right, you don't want to throw any light adjectives in there. So could you talk a little bit about what exactly this week is all about?
Well, this is National Safe Boating Week, and it's really to bring a focus on safe boating practices as the boating season gets underway. And we talk a little bit about the most important things to do in Alaska, such as wear your life jacket and try and keep from capsizing or falling overboard. Those are the most common causes of fatalities in Alaska.
Okay, so when you're sitting down with sailors and fishermen, what do you tell them about how to be safe on their vessels?
Well, the number one thing is what we already talked about, and that's wearing a life jacket, because 9 out of 10 of Alaska's boating fatalities were not wearing a life jacket, or they simply disappeared because they weren't wearing a life jacket. And 5 out of 6 of them fell out of capsize swamping or fall overboard. So the most important thing is to stay seated, or at least try and keep from getting in a situation that can result in an unplanned overboard event.
Okay. So are there a number of different names for life vest or safety devices like that?
There are. The one we prefer is life jacket. We've used everything from PFD to life jacket to life vest to you name it. But PFD to Alaskans means something a lot different than it does in the lower 48.
Right. Is there a history of how well accepted these devices have been? Is there a point in history when people started using them more frequently?
Life jackets were actually invented some time ago. Quite a while ago, in fact. They were made out of cork and kapok and lots of different materials. But they were bulky, uncomfortable, and with today's technology and inflatable life jackets, for example, very comfortable, and they do a great job of keeping you afloat if you are in an unplanned emergent event. The biggest thing we see in Alaska is people are not wearing their life jackets. That being said, Alaska's life jacket wear rates are actually above national averages, so most of the boaters up here do pretty well.
So I wouldn't want you to name drop any brands, but is there a certain type of material that people should look for a really functional life jacket that they can wear at all times? Like, if they're constantly fishing, maybe wearing a life jacket doesn't seem so tempting. So what's like a nice, comfortable kind of life jacket?
Well, choosing the right life jacket is a little bit tricky. A lot of it depends on your activity. If you're in a small open boat, perhaps a life jacket that provides some thermal protection, such as a float coat, those are very popular. But a float coat isn't always the right life jacket either. Sometimes if it gets too warm out, an inflatable vest, or they even make belt packs that inflate. But the key thing is to make sure you have the right life jacket for the particular use.
How have you done outreach to fishermen and other people who are in Alaska to try to show them or tell them how important it is? And you said that we have very high rates of using life jackets.
I think Alaskans overall are pretty astute when it comes to understanding the risks of cold water and the amount of time that we spend on the water. But there's several agencies that help promote life jacket wear, primary one being Alaska Office of Boating Safety, based in Anchorage. They do a terrific job, mostly through the Kids Don't Float, teaching school children the proper way to wear and fit a life jacket. There's other agencies and organizations as well. NIOSH, for example, has done a lot of work with the commercial fishing industry. AMSI, the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, and there's others out there too, including the Coast Guard and Coast Guard Auxiliary.
It's funny that you mentioned kids don't float because I was walking Abercrombie, which is a local park around here, and I actually saw one of the posters referring to that by the lake out there. So that does sound familiar to me. So what other things would you tell fishermen about boat safety?
The most important part is to use what God gave you between your ears. There's a lot of times fishermen have a tendency to work long, hard hours. Fatigue plays a big part in decision-making processes. A recreational boater who maybe doesn't boat as often or as experienced on the water as a professional fisherman might not have the experience to understand what kind of weather he's getting into. There's a lot to it when it comes to boating, of course, but again, the most important thing is to use your brain.
Okay, and so is Boat Safety Week a national thing?
It is. It's a national drive to help bring visibility to safe boating practices, and it's they actually do events all across the country, from the East Coast all the way up to Alaska and even Hawaii and Guam.
So what are some of the events that are commonly held in the state?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I apologize. I'm not totally up to date on what's going on in Alaska, but I know the Coast Guard Auxiliary is doing vessel safety checks around. There are several radio shows being put on around the state, this being one of them, of course. It's just to bring an awareness to safe boating as the season gets rolling here.
Right. And so are you, you said you're affiliated with the Coast Guard?
Yes, I'm a civilian. I work here in Juneau.
Okay. Could you explain a little bit about your role within the organization?
It's a lot of administrative work. I basically work as a liaison between the state of Alaska, who has a primary responsibility for safe boating in Alaska, in District 17. As far as the Coast Guard's concerned, it's a fairly small program, but the maintaining the partnerships and the working relationships with the agencies, organizations, and different folks out there, the different user groups, is an important part of what I do.
All right. And so, Stephanie, what kind of role will the Coast Guard have at Crab Fest?
Sure. So the Coast Guard this year has a booth at Crab Fest. So they have the Coast Guard Auxiliary manning the booth, and then the Coast Guard always does a search and rescue demonstration at Crab Fest right at the harbor, which is really exciting to see.
Okay, so that's a little bit about boat safety. It's all kind of connected with the Coast Guard. It's definitely one of the values to be safe all out there. So, Mike, thank you so much for joining us and sharing some of your knowledge. We really appreciate it.
And thank you for having me.
Right. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, Stephanie. So I'm very excited about Crab Fest. There's always so much good food and things to see. And is there a group of tourists who are coming in?
There will be a cruise ship in town on Friday. It arrives first thing in the morning and leaves at, I think, 9 o'clock at night. So there will be a cruise ship in town during Crab Fest this year. Crab Fest is really exciting. We get excited for Crab Fest at the Chamber as well. This year, it's especially exciting because we've maxed out our space down there. So we have more booths than we've ever had before. We have 61 booths this year. So that's great. Great for the Chamber. Great for the community. It's going to be a really exciting Crab Fest.
I'm just looking at a map of all the different booths and colors of green and red and blue and yellow, and it looks about as exciting as it sounds. And lots of logos across here. So is this a map that you're going to hand out to people? Is this going to be online?
Sure. So that went out. It's on our website. It's on our Facebook page, Kodiak Crab Festival. And that went out through the Daily Mirror, sent it to every residential address in Kodiak, the Crab Fest edition. So it's in that as well, along with our schedule of events, which you can find on our website as well. We've got lots of new booths this year. So the different colors mean different things. There's lots of red spots on the map, which means that they're food booths. There's a lot of food booths this year.
I see that. I'm pleased.
Yeah, lots of food booths. There's several new food booths this year, which is exciting. We've got Tacos 4-9. That's new this year. And we've also got Remy's Filipino Food, which is new this year, and DeJal's Brothers Barbecue. So those are three of the new food booths this year that you can see down at Crab Fest.
That's very exciting. And also, KMXT will be down there, and I know that Pam and Mike have been working hard to prepare for that.
The donuts. Yeah, they're great.
They will return. And then we have the famous Bruin Burgers.
The Bruin Burgers. They are getting set up down there. If you haven't driven by yet, I was down there all morning, and people were driving by and kind of slowing down, watching the booths get in place. But a lot of the food booths are in place already, and it's definitely going to be packed down there.
Do we feel like it's going to be sunny this year?
I sure hope so. I keep my fingers crossed. We don't like the R word during Crab Fest down at the Chamber.
We have had so much variety as far as weather goes over the last couple of years. I remember one year, I think it was the NRA, had this heater set up that was just radiating heat. Like, if you stepped too close to it, your boots would melt a little bit. And I just spent the majority of the time down there in front of the NRA's heating area.
That's a good draw to get people into their booth.
It was very
clever.
Getting
those raffle tickets sold.
I did not invest in a raffle ticket, but I helped, you know, buffer their base. So I feel like I still helped them, and I contributed something.
Sure.
And there is so much to look at on this page, so many different interesting looking companies. I know we were talking about this one company, Sigma, before we began the show. And could you describe what their machine does? Because it's kind of interesting.
Sure. So I'm not extremely knowledgeable about their products, but they have TENS units and ionic bands. So TENS units are often used at chiropractors' offices for pain. It's a unit that you put. They have little like patches, I don't know the correct word for them, that you put on different parts of your nerve, and it helps with nerve pain. So that'll be interesting. That's a new booth this year. We've got several. We've got two new LuLaRoe booths, which is clothing. So local clothing consultants with LuLaRoe. There's two of those. Risha Ism Photography has a booth this year. Arctic Pups Dog Gear. So they have different leashes, different stuff for dogs, different gear for dogs here in Alaska. Stand for Salmon has a booth. They were at Comfish as well, so they decided to do some outreach here at Crab Fest. Arctic Chiropractic and Massage Kodiak. Their shop is the new shop driving past Walmart. So they'll be at Crab Fest. They're giving 10-minute chair massages for free with their massage therapist. So that'll be really neat. The Alaska Air National Guard has a booth. The Kodiak Food Co-op that's getting set up here in town, they have a booth. So you can go and sign up for membership with the Food Co-op. The Kodiak State Fair and Rodeo has a booth again this year, and they'll have a small petting zoo inside their booth. So that's really neat.
What can we pet?
So I think they'll have little bunnies, I think chickens, a couple other smaller animals. So that'll be really exciting for the kids. Of course, Golden Wheel's set up out there. So if you've driven by, you've seen the carnival. They're all set up and excited, and they're ready to go. So once Thursday hits, they'll get started. It'll be a 5-day carnival ride this year. The past couple of years, they've had to shut down early to make the ferry, but they'll be able to make it for all 5 days this festival. So we're excited about that, too.
Yeah, what's happening with the ferry nowadays?
So the ferry, the Testamina, had some issues, and they actually ended up canceling Golden Wheel's return trip. So it took a lot of work, but we were able to get them rescheduled. So Golden Wheel is in town till June 4th. Of course, they'll only be working the festival through Monday, but they're in town till June 4th, which is a lot longer than normal. So definitely give Golden Wheel a big thank you, because they do have other shows in Alaska that them being here for that amount of time impacts.
Mm-hmm. And what's their background? Are they Alaska-based?
They are. So they've been in business, I believe, for right over 50 years. They've been coming to the Kodiak Crab Festival for about, I think we figured out, 45 to 47 years now.
Oh, wow. Okay, so these kind of festivals must be their bread and butter. They must wander around Alaska doing community festivals like this.
They do. So they have festivals all over Alaska, and this is their busy time of the year, of course. So them being here till June 4th, definitely, if you go by, give them a thumbs up and thank them for being here.
Mm. And just looking over the list here, I'm very excited about the chocolate-dipped almond ice cream. Every year I always stow a couple of those away in my freezer.
They're great, yep. They will be back. All of your favorites, the scallops, the kettle corn, the guy that did the grilled king crab last year, crimson crab with the Dungeness crab, with St. Mary's, their hamburgers, the Doughbuies, the Alaskan soda jerks, they're of course back. We've got Ship Shape Snack Shack. He's got the garlic fries and the fish and chips and Peking. I'm sure I'm missing a few, but all of our people, they're all coming back. The Smokehouse Barbecue, the Maritime Museum, Kodiak Island Smokehouse, the local shop here has a booth at Crab Fest, and they've got salmon nachos.
Oh my.
And they look delicious. I've seen pictures. They look really good. So stop by and check those out as well.
When I went home to New York, I brought some smoked salmon from the smokehouse. And my mother loved it. She said it was especially good. I'm like, of course it is. It's Alaskan from our local smokehouse. It's the best.
Yep.
So they were a hit in New York. So maybe I'll...
Yeah, we hope they'll be a big hit at Crab Fest. We love seeing our local companies come and kind of being out there at Crab Fest, showing people, you know, what they do and what they have, what they sell.
Yeah, it's cool to have everyone out in the same space and get to drop by each of them. And it's just like our community condensed into one spot on a hopefully very sunny day.
We hope so. We're keeping our fingers crossed.
All right. And so what else is happening? Because it's not just the booths. There are so many activities, lots of sportsy, athletic activities to burn off all the calories from all the crab legs you'll be eating.
There is. So if you go to KodiakChamber.org, you'll see Crab Fest on our menu bar, and it'll say Crab Fest 2017. You'll see our scheduled events. You should have received that also in your mailbox, the Crab Festival Edition newspaper. So if you take a look at that, we've got all kinds of events. We have different things, such as tours of museums, Discover Kodiak's doing a community scavenger hunt, lots of exciting stuff going on. A lot of the normal stuff that we do every year. So the fish toss that was new, I believe, 2 years ago, that'll be happening again. That's on Saturday afternoon. The survival suit race, it's a traditional Crab Fest event, will be happening as well. We've got the parade on Saturday. Please come out and join us for the parade. Lots of people involved in the parade this year. We get really excited about that. It's great to see all of the kids' faces walking by in the parade that are involved in it. So it's really exciting.
And there's a word here, historic sequencedential an anniversary walking tour of Kodiak. That'll be happening daily?
So that is sponsored by the Kodiak Historical Society, and it's, I can't say the word, but it's the 150th anniversary of the purchase of the Alaska Territory by the United States from Russia. So it's a self-guided walking tour of the downtown area. So you can go to the Bronhoff Museum, and you can pick up a guide, and it's a self-guided tour.
That sounds amazing. And so what are some of the athletic offerings around here?
Sure. So Sunday is usually your day for athletic stuff. So there's the annual Iditarod, which is called a Ridiculous Endurance Triathlon. Bike 41 miles from Passagshack to town. The Nine Mountain Pillar Mountain Classic, which you can do the Pillar Mountain Classic on its own. And then a 1 mile lap swim. So that's the Iditarod. There's the Passagshack to Kodiak bike race. So you can just do the 41-mile bike without doing the Iditarod itself. There's the Crab Festival Marathon, 26.2 miles. We actually have someone flying in from Florida to do the marathon.
Wow.
They're doing a marathon
who
in every state. You know, I'm not sure. They've called the chamber a couple times and talked to us about it, and they're really excited. They're flying all the way here from Florida to do that marathon. So
that's awesome.
That's exciting.
Those lucky people come to Kodiak to run in our marathon.
Right? And what a beautiful run. I mean, 26.2-mile run in Kodiak. It'll probably be their prettiest marathon they've ever done.
Yeah. I mean, I bike everywhere, so even though there's moments of pain, it's still a very beautiful view.
Beautiful view.
As you bike around. Although biking 41 miles is it's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot. So there's the Pillar Mountain Race, which is Sunday afternoon. There's several. I mean, there's several different things that you can do as far as different activities. There's the Pillar Mountain Downhill Mountain Bike Race, 3 o'clock on Sunday.
And we better have a good bike for that.
Yeah. Then, of course, there's the Fisherman Memorial Service, and that's at the Harbor Master Building at 3 p.m., so you can hear the bell tolled for every lost fisherman. So that's at 3 p.m. on Sunday afternoon down at the Harbor Master office.
Hmm. All right. That I would like to see that Pillar Mountain Downhill Mountain Bike race. That'd be a very impressive show of what kind of gear you have, what kind of mountain bike you have.
You've got to have some good gear to do that one.
Oh, yeah.
Also, the Blessing of the Fleet, that'll be held at the ferry terminal's dock. And that's at 1 p.m. on Monday, so that's always really neat to see.
And there are a couple of tennis tournaments, and there's also ping pong.
Ping pong tournaments, tennis tournaments, chess tournaments. There's an arm wrestling race, or arm wrestling championship. There's all kinds of stuff going on.
So I better get my biking in and build up my upper body strength before Sunday.
Burn off all those calories you eat, eating all the good Crab Fest food.
All right, well, it looks like we're running out of time, but if someone wants to find out more, where do they go online?
KodiakChamber.org, Crab Festival Facebook page, or give us a call, 486-5557.
All right, Stephanie De La Garza from the Chamber, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.